ADT can design and install a smart home for you, just for you. Backed by a 24/7 protection. A new smart home at your service, customized for your lifestyle. Boy, I wish I knew about this before I built my house, because the ADT does it all for you, and it's so much less expensive than what I did. There's so many options you can do with your secure smart home. You can control your smart home with the ADT app or even the sound of your voice. ADT will set up your home with multiple smart home devices and security features like indoor and outdoor cameras, locks, lights, and garage door controls, even video doorbell. My brother-in-law has this. It's the coolest thing ever. Plus, you're going to get doorman service. ADT will automatically unlock the door for packages, your friends, for your kids. Turn down service. ADT will automatically arm your system, lock your doors, turn down your lights and your thermostat. Plus, if you need move-in service while you're unpacking boxes, ADT is going to install your whole custom designed system. Visit ADT.com/smart to learn more about how ADT could design and install a secure smart home just for you. This is Heather DuBrow's World, and now you can live in it two times a week right here on Podcast One. Welcome back, everybody.
I'm still so happy about the sound quality.
Me too.
I was like, I couldn't even listen before. I don't know how people were listening still. Thank you guys for sticking through that.
Thanks for pulling through with us.
Seriously.
I'm still unshowered.
And my hair, I don't think I've washed my hair in 2 days. I just can't wash it every day.
My hair is dying right now because we've had so much going on between the e-segments mm-hmm. and the book stuff and the press and all the stuff that my hair is not good second day.
Really?
No.
You just get oily. Like mine gets so greasy so fast.
Me too. That's because we have thin hair.
I know. I have 3 strings left. And I'm holding on. I feel like I'm balding on top of my head. Well, right now I have definitely balls, but I feel like I'm balding.
My hairline's moving back. I used to have no forehead at all.
Really?
I was looking at pictures of myself, younger pictures for some reason. I don't know why.
Interesting. You don't think your face is just changing like your
No,
shape is...
I think you get bald as you get older.
I just had to thread my whole face 2 days ago.
Really?
Yes. All of it.
So you like threading versus like a dermaplane?
I like dermaplaning, but it's just not as accessible to me. And I have one girl that I love, and I'm just loyal to her.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fast, it's effective, and it's cheap. And I just love it. And I feel like it just lasts so much longer.
Yeah, I like the dermaplaning.
Yeah.
The only thing is, though, I mean, you just have to be careful. You have to go to someone really good because it's still
problem.
A blade. You can get cut.
Yeah. No, I like a good thread.
But I like the you don't get the exfoliation with threading, though.
Slightly. Not as much, no.
Do you use your Beauty Sonic cleansing tool?
I'm obsessed with it. That and my concealer, I couldn't live without. I'm running out of my foundation, actually.
Oh, do you need?
Yeah, probably.
I have in there.
I'm like squeezing it. I'm like...
I love our... You know what? We're having a sale on it this weekend. By the way, okay, so I just thought of this. So Evine is opening this LA studio, and we actually are going to be on, when this airs, it'll be on tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want tonight and tomorrow, Saturdays, the 19th and 20th, we're going to be on Evine, and we've got this insane Volumigen kit, which is, so it's the concentrating cream of Volumigen, and you get the tinted moisturizer and the concealer.
That's all you really need.
But it's such a good deal. It's like getting it's like getting 3 products for free.
Yeah.
If you love Volumigen and you want to try the makeup, this is so the way to do it. Because what I do is I use the Volumigen concentrate in the morning, followed by the tinted moisturizer as the moisturizer.
Yep.
And then at night, and then I use the concealer, you know, all over. And then at night I use just the concentrating cream.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that kit will last you like 3 months.
Oh, I've had my makeup forever and that's all I use. I use that concealer like it's a damn eraser on my face. And I can apply, and it doesn't like make me cakey or anything.
That because it's got the Volumigen in it. That's what's so nice about it is that you can layer
it. You look like dewy still.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah, so if you guys want to get in on that,
make sure if you forget any of it, because someone was asking me about beets mm-hmm. at the gym today, and she was saying, how do I order it? And I was telling her, she's like, how do you spell Evine? I go, just go to heatherdubrow.com. There's a link.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't there a link? There's a link. There you go. There's a link. I digress. What were we talking about?
The threading versus dermaplaning.
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm obsessed with it. I did it 2 days ago.
How long does it last?
I mean, I'm a hairy little beast, so.
Did you ever think to do laser?
Like 3 weeks. No, I haven't even thought about that yet. I heard it's so painful, though.
Laser hair removal?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
And you can shave after that throughout your, like, sessions, or you have to
really
let it grow.
You're not supposed to. This is why I never went back.
No, I can't do that. That's it, literally.
Wait, no, mate. No, yes, of course you could shave. Yes, of course you could shave. Because you can't go in there with long hair. If you had, like, long hair in your legs, they would have to shave it before doing the laser hair removal.
Oh, so you have to be.
You have to be shaven.
Oh. See, that's why I had to stop waxing the down there, the pretty kitty. Because I can't let that grow. You have to, like,
that's where you went, the pretty kitty.
Yeah.
Do you remember the story about the pretty kitty?
Yeah, when you were driving
Nikki?
By. Yes.
Oh my God. If you guys ever heard the story, every morning I would drive Nikki to school. We always got stuck at the light, and I would turn next to me, and it was a waxing place called the pretty kitty. And they would go, "What is that?" I'm like, "Let's look that way."
Right? Yeah.
No. Why is it called the pretty kitty? Why kitty?
What, you know why?
Well, I knew.
Oh.
I'm saying that's what they said.
Oh. I'm like, why are you asking that?
Really? Yes, I know. Did you see the other place called The Lunchbox?
I did.
Oh, did it go out of business already?
No, it's still there.
Oh, dear. I don't like that name. Sorry. Sorry, people who
branding,
name things.
Yeah.
Branding people. I just don't care for that name.
But that's
at all.
Why I couldn't do it. And it was just so uncomfortable with, like, just having someone down there and just all up in situation.
Your gear. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I did. I lasered. Not the whole.
Down there too?
Not the whole situation, just the
really?
Sides. Years ago.
Oh.
But I still have to shave. I told you I never finished the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, like, I still have to shave.
Yeah.
No. I should really go back and finish it. Because I'm going to be gray.
They're all going to be
everywhere.
Gray.
Everything was going to be gray, and then you can't do it anymore.
But why don't your legs hairs go gray?
Do they?
I don't think they do.
I don't know.
No, there's no way. My grandma has, like, the darkest hair.
Seriously?
Yeah.
And the hair on her head is white?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so
random.
So
I wonder if, like, the vagine is also gray, or is that just dark?
I don't know. If
that's
I
not
see
fair.
A gray hair in the vagine, I'm going to cry.
I haven't found a gray hair on my head yet.
By the way, not to be TMI, but I wouldn't know anyway.
Exactly. Oh, really, Miss Runway?
Just saying.
That's out of style, or whatever it's called. What is it?
Oh, the landing strip?
Yeah, that thing.
I haven't had that in years.
I told you,
my friends.
If it comes back into style.
No.
Not happening.
I would only know from Terry. He's the one that tells me those things. I don't know.
So funny.
So funny.
God.
What we women
some questions?
Go through.
Yeah, you want to? I feel like we.
Oh, yeah. We should answer questions. Yes.
We had
let's do
a
it.
Few. Okay, Heather, I need your help. Small backstory. I came from Highland Park, Texas, where everything and everyone is expected to be perfect. My mother put so much pressure on me to be her idea of quote-unquote perfect, but to be honest, it is just stressing me the fuck out. I'm a successful 21-year-old professional ballet dancer, dance teacher, and a performer in New York City. I am pursuing my dreams, but it still does not seem to be enough for both my father, but especially my mother. How do you cope with family drama amidst pursuing what you love to do? I did not go to a college, and this is what's really killing my parents. Although in my eyes, if I am making fantastic money and doing what I love to do, while being very happy, where is the loss? Help. I need your advice on how to deal with keeping sane in this type of situation.
First of all, I'll adopt you. What's her name?
She didn't say.
Oh, I will adopt you right now. Because if you were my child,
oh my gosh,
I would be over the moon. I have so many things to say about this. First of all, you're a ballet dancer. Of course you didn't go to college. You know why? Because there are certain professions and sports that you have to do in your younger years.
Right.
You can't start being a professional ballet dancer at age 25.
Right.
So, and you're so successful.
Yeah.
And I have news for you. A college degree doesn't equal success, happiness, luck, love. Mm-hmm. It doesn't guarantee anything. I'm not saying people shouldn't go to college. I think an education is very important. You're having a different kind of education. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah.
It's so hard. Why are parents so hard on their kids? And I wonder what my kids would say. It's funny. Max puts a lot of pressure on herself. And she'll say to me, oh, all you care about is grades. And I'm like, when have I ever said to you, you must get all A's? I'm like, you put that pressure on yourself. That's your desire for yourself.
Right.
I just want you to have choices.
You're trying to guide her, but you're not saying you have to get all straight A's. If not, I'm going to disown you. It's not like a...
No, and I don't put my wishes on them. I really, all I care about, if I'm hard on them about grades, it's only because I want them to have choices. Mm-hmm. That's all I care about. Max is an incredible singer. I don't push her to sing
right.
because she doesn't have the passion for right. it. So why would I push her?
Right.
Now, all right, you ready for this? So when I joined Housewives, my family was so mean to me.
Really? Because they knew what the show was about or because they...
They... Okay, let me scroll back a little bit. So it was, as most of you know, because I've talked about this before, it was very hard for me to join Housewives because to me, I was a scripted actress. This meant... My career was over. This meant that I was, you know, part of this reality thing, which when, you have to understand that when reality television first came on, scripted people looked down on it
right.
as something else. The landscape of television has completely changed. I don't feel that way anymore, not just because I've done it, just because I think there's value in all television and there's so much reality that I think is so great. And I think there's definitely a place for it, obviously, in our lives and on television and in society. But for me at the time, it was a very difficult thing to do. But Terry understood the power of the platform. He really, he got it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was something that he thought we should do for our careers, for our family, for what, and he was right. Mm-hmm. He was totally right in so many ways about that. But it was so hard for me to do. And I was having such an internal struggle with it, which is also, I think, why I was so like buttoned up and tight when we first started the show, is because I was thinking, oh, who's seeing this and how are people going to react to me? And because I'm used to having a script.
Yeah, right.
And even though I had done hosting and, you know, television where I was myself, this felt different. I didn't yeah. understand.
You were now being judged for who you were versus the character that you were playing.
Yeah. Or, you know, it was like too much of my life and my family and my yeah. kids and how, you know, I don't know. It was just so overwhelming to me.
Did your family know that you were going through the process or you just kept it sort of hush hush until you got the gig?
It's a good question. I'm not sure I totally remember.
Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like you were having conversations like, I don't know, I may get this job, I may not, or you weren't like...
Well, it didn't work like that. It worked like I had met, what happened was we were pitching the show, the restaurant show.
Right.
We met with Evolution. Alex right. Baskin was in the room and called Terry and said, would Heather ever consider being on Housewives? And Terry went, no. And he goes, but would she? And then Terry said, would you consider? And I was like, no, mm-hmm. I wouldn't consider doing that show. Never. And then we talked about it and talked about it and they called. And
right.
did I meet with them?
I thought you did.
I went up and met with.
I thought you did.
Or they came down and met with me. I don't remember.
You definitely met with them though.
I met with them.
Yeah.
And then I can't remember. But it wasn't like the usual process. Mm-hmm. I don't remember how it happened. But anyway, so I met with them and they wanted me to do it.
Right.
So they offered me the gig and then I said no. Mm-hmm. And Terry said yes. And he signed the contract.
Right.
You know the story. And then he said, I had never seen the show. And so then he showed me a couple of scenes and I started laughing because right. I saw Tamara throwing the wine on Gina Keough. And he goes, why are you laughing? I thought yep. you'd say no and cry and run out of the room. I go, I get it. It's a Christopher Guest movie. I could do that.
Yeah.
I thought it was like a satire.
Yeah.
So I thought it was funny. And I'm like, okay, I can do this. So, you know, you really have to gear yourself up to do something like this.
Yeah.
I had no idea what I was getting myself into with the cameras in my house and dealing with four children. I had four children. All right. Because Coco was
yeah.
8 or 9 months yep. old and dealing with four kids and having cameras in the house and the schedule and trying to figure out these girls that I'm meeting and mm-hmm. and traveling and all that. Oh, it was crazy. I had no clue. And then when it's your first season, they overshoot you because
right.
they don't know who you are or what, and they want you to be comfortable and whatever.
Yep.
So on top of that, sorry, that was a long story to get to where I'm going. But on top of that, my family would have no part of it. Like I would say, hey, you know, you guys are all coming for Thanksgiving. Would you mind if we like filmed? And
I remember my cousin's ex-wife was like, absolutely not. I don't want my children on camera. And, you know, which I can respect. It's fine.
Did they support the whole thing? Like, they didn't support any of it, or they just didn't support being on camera?
No one was very nice to me about it. I got to be honest.
Really?
No. It was like, our kids can't be on camera and neither will we. Too bad.
Yeah.
That was basically the take-home message. It's not our thing.
Oh, got it. Got it. And then once it aired, were they critical? Were they happy?
Well, I'm not done.
Oh.
So my cousins were like that. My sister, same.
Okay.
Wouldn't do anything. And my mother was downright mean to me about it. Really? How could you do this? She made me cry. I cried a lot.
Really?
Because it was so hard to say yes to do it, and then I'm doing it, and it's so hard to do the show.
You didn't have a support system.
Absolutely zero support system. And here's what's so screwed up about it. So from the question, I will tell you, at some point, you need to go like this, because this is what I eventually said. It's not your life. Mm-hmm. This is my life. These are my choices. And if you don't want to be a part of it, that's your decision. That's sad for me because I'll just look like I have no family. But it is what it is. And, you know, what can I do about it? But right. I don't want to hear about it.
Right.
I'm sorry it's so disappointing to you. I'm sorry that everything I've done in my life is so disappointing to you and you're so horrified I'm doing this show. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, I wasn't...
Because
you know,
just because
doing
it's
porn.
Family. Exactly. But just because it's family, it's still that negative energy that it's you don't need that in your life. No one needs that.
No. But also, if they have something negative to say, you don't need to hear it.
Exactly.
You just don't.
Exactly.
You are a successful, happy. By the way, one of the things that struck me from your letter was happy. Mm-hmm. You are successful. You're happy. You're living your dream.
Yeah.
And can I just say how young you are?
Yeah.
Not only are you living your dream and having your dream career, you're also teaching, you're helping the next generation of artists in your field, and you have a lifetime ahead of you. You have no idea what you're going to do with it. And I'd love to meet you and hear what the next chapter holds for you, because I want to hear what your dreams and goals are. What is for you beyond this? Do you want to be artistic director at a ballet? Do you want to open your own studio? Do you want whatever? You have so many possibilities. I'm so proud. As your other mother, I'm so proud of you. For me, it was very difficult. I cried a lot, and I was a lot older than you going through this, and it was so hard.
Yeah.
But you know what was really messed up?
Did they ever have a moment where they came back and said, that was really cool or?
No, not at all. But I'll tell you that more than one of them have come to me and said, like my mom was like, can you put my art on your, can you do like, will you bring the cameras and come to like the opening when I do my gallery opening for my art? Oh yeah. Very happy to ask for that. My cousin Peter, who's a brilliant hematologist, oncologist, and I love him very much. But he was like, would you mind retweeting
right. It's
my
like
fund
only when
for,
it benefits you guys.
Or my
will
book
you...
or my this right. or my that. Oh no, everyone's happy to ask of for course. Favors. Yeah.
It's the sad truth.
And by the way, I do it. I do it if it makes sense. I won't do something gratuitously,
right.
but if it makes sense,
right.
I'm happy to talk about things. Yeah. I just feel like it sucks. I don't know why parents have to be that way. I just feel like if your kid's happy, all you really want them to be, our job as parents is to make our children independent and hope that they're happy and lucky and successful. Here's a girl who's independent and happy and lucky and successful. Oh, I'm sorry. Should she drop out of her incredibly successful, happy, lucky career in life to go to school to learn what? Well,
exactly.
And who knows? Maybe someday she'll be like, I want to open my own ballet school. So I'm going to take classes.
A business course.
In business or whatever.
Right.
And maybe she'll do something like that. But like I said.
It's unfortunate that they're very narrow-minded in that sense.
See, the thing about college when I was growing up was college was where you found your passion. It's where you honed your skills in whatever you wanted to do so you could go out in the world and make an impact or start your career. I feel like looking at the twins in high school, I feel like it's a little different now, which is sad. I feel like you almost need to know what you want to do going into college.
Yeah.
And how can you know at that age? So at least narrowing it down to a field. But here's someone who had such a huge passion and is being
pursuing it. Yeah.
I don't know what to say except that, you know, from the kid's side, I understand it and it sucks when your parents don't appreciate how happy you are and successful you are. And isn't that enough?
Right.
And from being a parent, I will tell you, there's nothing I want more than to see my kids
be passionate
and happy.
And happy about it, yeah.
Just be happy, mm-hmm. no matter what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Just be happy.
Yeah.
I want them to live a beautiful, independent, happy life with no regrets.
Yeah.
Hey there, for any smokers out there that are trying to quit, or if you know someone who is, there is a revolutionary new way to quit called Zero. Zero's Quit Kit is a new quitting solution proven to increase your chances of kicking the habit by up to 4 times compared to going cold turkey. Look, I used to smoke. I went through everything. It was so hard. I ended up getting, you know, hypnotized and everything. And honestly, that didn't work that well either. But now there is an easy way to do it. The Zero Quit Kit is a 3-tiered approach that includes prescription medication, nicotine gum, and continued support through a mobile app. Here's how it works. Go to quitwithzero.com to start your online doctor visit. And after your 5-minute visit, a physician will then determine if you're eligible to use the Quit Kit. And if you're eligible, the doctor will prescribe your medication and the Quit Kit will be shipped directly to your door. Zero costs less than what the average smoker spends on cigarettes and less than most other quitting options. So the Zero Quit Kit is normally $129 per month, but for a limited time, my listeners can get their first month for only $79. Go to quitwithzero.com/Heather to quit smoking. That's quitwithzero.com/Heather.
Happy Earth Month, everybody. I know that every year we write down different goals that we want to accomplish. And maybe one of your goals for 2024 is to shop sustainably. Well, here's some fantastic news. Macy's makes it easy to do just that. This Earth Month, join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. And by the way, who doesn't love going to the park, especially in the spring? Super cute little doggies on leashes, soaking up the sun with your friends or your kids or your little nieces and nephews. Well, check this out. Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project. Their goal is to transform vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help create healthy, livable communities for generations to come. I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a huge difference. Donate online or in-store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose.
Sometimes in your life, you need to hit the reset button. And Life Reboot on Podcast One's got you covered. It's time for you to live your best life. And hosts Leah Messer, Lindsay Riley, and Brian Scott are here to give you the tools you need to empower yourself and live life to the fullest.
And when you're in a place of self-worth, that's when you don't feel that need to kind of put people down and to judge other people for where they're at. It's kind of just like, this isn't right for my life.
Check out Life Reboot every Wednesday on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Now, back to Heather Dubrow's world.
Okay, here's another question. I have a question about my husband drinking too much. He sometimes comes home having drank too much with clients or coworkers, and it poses a problem at home. I will work full-time and pick up my children and get homework done, baths and dinner cooked, and he comes home drunk. It puts me into full-blown anxiety attack where I worry something is happening to him when driving home after one of these nights. He knows it upsets me and apologizes, but what do I do? I love him, but don't understand it and don't want it to become his mother and nag him about it. What's the best way to talk about this with him without being a nag? Thanks.
Well, there's a couple of things here. I mean, first of all, is this a lot?
Right.
I mean, because if it's a lot, that's...
I mean, she's using the word drunk versus tipsy or buzzed. I mean, this is like a...
Right, but if he does it twice a month and he's got client dinners and... why are you getting drunk with clients?
And why are you driving?
Never, ever, ever drink and drive. Can I just start with that?
Yes.
Never, ever, ever drink and drive. And the one thing that you need to say to him, the first thing you need to say to him is you have a family and you have responsibilities.
Yes.
Never drink and drive. If you know you're going on one of these dinners,
right.
Uber home.
Exactly.
Or Uber there and Uber back.
Exactly. Or call me. I will pick you up.
Like, maybe she can't because of the kids.
But
the thing is, never ever drink and drive, because if something happens to you, you're hurting us. Mm-hmm. And you have a responsibility to this family and we expect to be put first.
Yep.
So if I can't talk you out of these evenings, then you need to take care because you're hurting us.
Right.
That's number one. If he can't do that, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. And if these evenings are very often, then, you know, I think that's something that you really need to look into, because if he has a drinking problem, there's a bigger issue there. There's also a matter of your kids seeing your husband come home drunk.
Agreed.
What does that look like? And what kind of example?
And the state that you're in. If you're, you know, ill and have these anxiety attacks in front of your kids, I mean, it's just as bad as him coming home drunk. And even if he is the fun dad, you know, or whatever it is, you're still not yourself.
And does anyone else know about this? Is there an intervention moment? Or maybe the first step is with you and maybe just set some ground rules. How often is this happening?
Yep.
And maybe set some ground rules for how often it can happen.
Exactly.
And that it must be an Uber situation and planned ahead of time. Mm-hmm. I would say that's step one, unless the problem is much worse.
Right.
And then you need to take extra steps.
Yeah. Unfortunately, when it comes to things like that, it's hard for you to tell someone to do something when they're just not wanting to, willing to, or in the right mind frame.
It's true.
It's like, I'm an adult. I can do what I want. You know what I mean? And so that's why I think for her, she doesn't want to be like the naggy mother.
Well, then she needs to take it off the table, because if he gets hurt or maimed or hurts someone else, he's now affecting them, their finances, their livelihood. And that's just BS. So maybe just put it out. Instead of nagging, just go, look, it's not acceptable.
Yeah.
If you need to do these things, you can't make it in a way that's going to affect us. Mm-hmm. You need to Uber.
Yeah, absolutely. Should we do another one?
Yeah.
Hi, Heather and Natalie. Adore you both and love, love, love the podcast. My question may be more for Heather, though. Heather, I can't remember if you and Terry dated while he was going through medical school, but my boyfriend and I moved to a new city together last year for his medical school, and I'm having a hard time with the adjustment from our old lifestyle to new. For example, we used to dine out and go out to nice restaurants all the time, and now with him in school, he is busy studying and we are trying to save money. I have a great job, so I'm not doing nothing at all, but I'm just really struggling with having things to do in the new city while my boyfriend is studying literally 24/7, to the point where he seems like he barely has time to greet me when I walk through the door. How can I make more time for us to go out and be together and connect more? I know he needs to be studying and it'll pay off because he's doing great in school, but I am bored, capital letters bored, and have 3 more years of this. Am I being selfish? Sorry it's so long. I appreciate any suggestions. Can't wait to watch on Watch What Happens Live. Thanks.
Oh, thanks. Oh, this is such a loaded question.
Yeah.
Don't want to piss anyone off here, but let me lay it out here.
Okay.
No, we were not dating then. When I met Terry, he was 37.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was done. He was already in practice. He was just out of school though.
Yeah.
Final school. But remember, he was a board certified general surgeon and then board certified plastic surgeon.
Yeah.
So he did it the old fashioned way. So he was in school for many, many, many years.
Did he date? Was he not really much of
his longest relationship? He had a girlfriend for like 3 years.
Was during this time?
During one of the residencies. I can't remember.
Okay.
But here's the thing with doctors, because my cousin's a doctor. I have a lot of doctor friends. What happens is these guys either marry young, like when they start their residency, because they meet someone, they're working and studying like you're talking about, and they want someone to take care of them, or it just happens that way, and they get married super young. Or they don't, and they get married later, which is what happened to Terry and a lot of his friends who didn't, you know, they just dated and whatever, and their careers are their priority, and they work so many hours.
Right.
And they study so many hours that it's exactly what she's describing.
Yeah.
So the thing is, there's really nothing you can do because he has to study like that. You know what makes me nervous, though, if she were my daughter?
Mm-hmm.
What I'd worry – what do you think – do you know what I'm going to say?
What?
What I'm worried about is – he's got his head in the books and you're hanging on. And once he pulls his head out in 3 years, it doesn't get better.
Yeah.
Then he's good.
You're risking.
And then what happens? Is he the right one for you? You're so young together. Is this wasting 3 years waiting for him to pick his head up? And then
he realizes, wait a minute.
Or not even him. Maybe she realizes it too, because you're not building the relationship during this period of time because he's studying so much.
Right.
I'm not telling you to break up with him. I'm not saying he's not your soulmate. It could totally work out. That medical school thing is
tough.
Yeah. It is a lot of hours.
Yeah.
And if you have some stuff you're doing together, that's great. I get you're bored. You need friends. You need to join things and have a really
stay
busy and have a really good support system in your new environment. I'm serious. I would join, you know, take classes at a local, you know, Orange Theory or boxing class, yeah. whatever you like, and meet some friends mm-hmm. and get stuff on the books. By the way, study a language. Yeah. I have a place to go once a week. You know, like take up tennis, something like keep yourself busy, but you also need to make
sure.
How
does she say connected with him?
Yeah. You also need to make sure that you are staying connected with him because you got to make sure during these 3 years while he's studying his butt off that you guys really are right for each other and that this is worth hanging on to and the whole thing because you're very young.
Yeah.
How do you do that? I think that it's not quantity, it's quality. It's the same thing when we talk about like working parents and how they're spending time with their kids. You don't need to be together for 4 hours.
Right.
But the hour you're together, not on your phone.
Exactly.
Not in a movie, in a dark room. We're not talking. Not discussing anything probably
that can
lead to a fight. Mm-hmm. And really finding the right moments where he's not going to be exhausted. It is a tough life. I mean, these doctors, they just study so hard. I mean, think about what it takes to become a doctor, a surgeon. It's crazy.
Yeah.
There's no easy answer there. I think you have to keep yourself busy and try in those moments to be as connected as possible. And don't put too much pressure on the time you're together.
Right.
Like, oh my God, this has to be epic because we're only together for 20 minutes or whatever. No, but make sure you're having sex too.
Mm-hmm.
That's really important.
Mm-hmm.
But I swear for you, you sound like a very successful together person and clearly you love this guy and I think that's great. But you know what? Be smart and realize this is a long haul. This isn't just 3 years. This is probably 10 years of this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a good one. Hi, Heather and Natalie. Okay, so my fiance and I have been engaged for about 9 months, and we're getting married in the fall of next year. We've had a long engagement because we just bought a house and have been putting our time and effort into that this year. Anyway, his best guy friend has been dating my best girlfriend for years. Her and I go way back to high school. They got engaged last month. We are over the moon excited for them. They will be getting married before us next summer. I'm just looking for any tips on how to avoid conflict while we are going to simultaneously plan our weddings. We are different people and want different things, but I know weddings sometimes make people act out of character. I want to be able to support and celebrate them while allowing each of us to have our own moments without them blending together. Hope this makes sense. Best, Kay.
Oh, totally. And you know what's great? First of all, I love your attitudes. What a sweet, great friend.
Yeah,
I love
really nice.
All that. I think instead of looking at it, but I think you're smart to think about it,
mm-hmm.
but I also want you to think about it like this. How fun.
That you guys get to do this together?
Yes.
Yeah.
How incredibly fun is that? That's mm-hmm. like the greatest thing ever. You get to be like a bridesmaid.
It's like bumping bellies with like your best friend. Same thing.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's so, so exciting. And what's also cool about it is it's different times of the year. She's getting married in the summer. You're getting married in the fall. It's going to be very, very different. What I would try to do is not make comparisons. And just so you know, you have to pick everything out so far in advance.
Right.
And you guys are starting planning so far in advance that the stuff that'll be available to her, you'll have new stuff available to you by the time your stuff comes out.
Yep.
I think the one thing I would say, now that I've said that, is once your girlfriend picks out her stuff, make a period of time where you don't talk about your wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can talk about your joint weddings, like, oh, we should do this, or we should do that, or that's a great idea. What do you think about that?
That must be so hard not to talk about it when it almost consumes your life, I feel like, during that period of time.
It does consume your life, and you can go through it together, but I feel like there's a certain period of time, like, in the like month or 6 weeks before her actual wedding, shut up about yours.
Mm-hmm.
Take a break from
it. Oh, yeah. Okay, got it.
Take a break from yours and just focus on her.
Let her have her moment.
Absolutely. And I would even say to her, hey, listen, this is now your time. Because when it comes to yours, hers is going to be way over.
Mm-hmm.
So give her that time too. So say, look, I just want you to know, I don't want to talk about our wedding for a while. I just want to concentrate on you.
Yep.
And if you're planning her bridal shower, you know, be thoughtful. Give her what you'd want to have.
Right. And what she wants.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I meant like the kind of thought you'd want someone to put in to your shower. And don't worry about saving things like, oh, I want to do this for her, but I want to do that at my shower. Like, don't worry about, or like, I want to suggest this to her, but I want to save it for mine. Trust me, other things always come out.
Very, very good advice.
So you can share things. It's totally okay. And by the way, even if two people said, I'm going to do yellow flowers with purple hair and green tablecloths, it would look completely different.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you'd have different vendors, different people, whatever. But what's also great is she may have great tips for you. You may have great tips for her. Mm-hmm. Definitely share. It's okay if there's some overlap. Mm-hmm. It's totally okay. The weddings will look and feel completely different.
Yeah.
But definitely give her her time to celebrate.
That's very, very sweet advice for sure.
I love that. How cool is that?
That is. Who did you bump bellies with or have similar like weddings like simultaneously? Anyone? Any friends?
Who was I pregnant with? I was pregnant with my friend Barry Benson. Mm-hmm. Her husband Mike and I have known each other since we were 16.
Oh my gosh.
And she and the three of us all went to the same college.
Yeah.
We all went to Syracuse. And she and I both had twins.
Really?
Uh-huh.
That is so funny.
Yeah.
Do you compare bellies to other people, the other people's bellies or no?
I don't remember. I just felt like such a whale. I just felt so big. And then I joined baby classes.
Yeah.
So.
You're around all the, yeah. These.
Did I join baby classes when I was pregnant? No.
The Lamaze and all that.
I didn't do Lamaze because I knew I was having a C-section.
Oh.
Wasn't interested in that. I took a few little baby classes, but we had someone come to the house for one. We went to one or I went to one. I can't remember.
Yeah.
God, it
wasn't
so
like you had someone that was sort of going through it with you.
No. I don't think so.
No.
I don't remember. Just Barry.
And you were never pregnant around the same time your sister was?
No. Nope. She got, because she was pregnant like, I think her kids are like 2 years younger.
Got it.
Jackson's like a year and a half younger than the twins, and Alec is like a year younger than Kat. Yeah.
Right. Just right in between.
Nope. No, I don't think I ever had anyone. I think maybe with Kat I did.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Not with the twins so much, but with Katarina, because then we moved down to Orange County while I was pregnant with her.
Got it.
That's when we made like the move when I was pregnant with Kat. And I had friends then in Orange County from being in baby groups and stuff. So I had a bunch of friends that I was pregnant with.
Gotcha.
For her. And then no one for Coco.
No.
No, because all my friends were done. They're like, what?
That's so funny.
Except Jay, because she had Avalon after.
Right.
And Danya. No, I met Lindsay later. No,
I'm just saying, like, they all had kids after you.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
But I met Lindsay later.
Yeah.
I met my friends, like, when I was pregnant with Coco. The only one of my friends with at the time that had a baby after me was Danya and Jay.
Yeah. That is so interesting, huh?
Is that so funny?
Yeah.
I don't miss being pregnant.
You didn't enjoy it.
No, I did not enjoy it. I always had complications with all the pregnancies, which sucked. But I...
It wasn't like, get this thing out of me. I'm done.
No.
Huh.
No, not really. I didn't mind it.
Even with the complications and all of that? Like during the actual birth
with
thing.
The twins, it was hard because every time I had contractions, I had to go to the hospital.
Why?
Because it's high risk.
Know. Ugh.
So like a certain amount of contractions per hour,
right.
I had to go to the hospital. And I had preeclampsia.
Right.
And then I had the magnesium. That was terrible. And then with Kat, I had the placenta accreta. And then... with Coco also, I placenta accreta, but it resolved itself. So that was good.
Yeah.
But other than that, I didn't really mind being pregnant.
Hmm. So you're not constantly comparing. I just feel like when you're in that wedding mode or in that baby mode, like you're comparing to what other people are doing or.
Yes. You definitely look at bellies and be like, why is she so small? I'm a whale. And
right.
I hated when people went, you're all belly. And you're like, you're such an ass. And look at my ass.
Right. Yeah.
Really?
Oh my
Not
gosh.
All belly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely do the comparison thing. And I remember when we were still engaged, or I got engaged around the same time as my friend Carrie,
mm-hmm.
but they got married first. Mm-hmm. They got married way before us.
Yeah.
But I loved being in her wedding and seeing what she planned. There's something to be said for, you know, Oh, here's some advice to her, though. Mm-hmm. If you're going to go with her, like, to the florist or to see the table set up, because that's what you do.
Right.
Like, you meet with a florist, you tell them what they want, and they set up a table.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get
a little mock-up, right?
A mock-up. Yep. And you get to go look at it. And you're like, I love this. I don't like that. This is the perfect chair. I want to change the cover. You do that whole thing.
Right.
If you go with her to do that, mm-hmm. do not talk about your own wedding.
Mm.
Well, I want to do this, so you do that. Well,
right,
I like
right,
this.
Right.
For me, I would do... No.
Don't make it about you.
No, don't make it about you. If you're going to go on her appointments with her, only make it about her.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to go on her dress appointments with her, you have a picture of what you want, right?
Yeah.
And then what happens is you change your mind when you start trying them on because they look so much different on you.
Right.
And even when you go to a bridal shop and they pull something out and you're like, that's hideous. They go, no.
Just try it on.
And you put it on, you're like, oh, they're right.
Yeah.
Because they're so good at looking at women and seeing their shape and what will look well on them.
Right.
It's so important. Even if you think it's going to be hideous, trust me, you just try it on just to see. But all right, so I remember my friend Carrie, she originally wanted a very sexy, like very low back kind of dress.
Not like princess cut, like just very sleek. Like
no, but tight. Then towards the end, she changed her mind and decided she wanted like a big skirted kind of thing. And I think it was because she started looking at like other wedding dresses and stuff and like maybe got influence from it. So her dress was beautiful. I mean, it honestly ended up being like a stunning dress.
Yeah.
But it was very hard to get there. I remember going with her like 100 times to the seamstress because she had it custom made.
Mm-hmm.
And because she still wanted the backless and she still wanted it to be sexy, but she wanted like a skirt to twirl in and she couldn't figure it out. But I think today it's easier because I think today everyone does costume changes.
Right.
So she could have done the twirly dress and then changed into the other dress, I guess.
I mean,
if you could afford more than one dress, but...
Did you have an idea of what you wanted or did yours change?
Because
yours is so like specific.
I definitely wanted like something that looked like a wedding dress.
You did.
I wanted
to feel like, yeah.
I wanted to feel like a bride.
Princess. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is very princess-like.
So I went to Barney's because that's where they had the Vera Wang department.
Uh-huh.
We didn't have a Vera Wang boutique.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Vera Wang and I tried on all these dresses. And it was that first time, I think, that I tried on. That was the...
Oh, really?
It was the dress. And then I still went to other places and tried on all different dresses. And there were so many beautiful dresses. Oh, my gosh. And then I kept going back to the dress and I thought, I don't know. It just seems so right. It's so snowy and bridey and princessy. And when am I ever going to be able to wear a big ass tulle skirt again?
Totally.
Right?
Yep. 20 years later in your closet.
Who knew?
Exactly.
Do you think I should pack it for France?
Oh God, imagine.
By the way, would that be hilarious?
No. It would be, Terry would probably
die.
He would die.
Can you imagine if I came out in my wedding dress in front of the Eiffel Tower? I'm here.
Oh my God. Now get down on one knee.
Now propose properly.
Exactly.
You nasty man. So excited for that trip, though.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
What are you doing this weekend?
Where are we? What week are we?
Right. We're opening the Evine LA studio, which is super excited. I heard Reza has a line of like he's doing his line as hair products.
His hair products, yeah.
Yeah, so I hope I get to bump into him.
I love that show.
And some of my favorite.
And it's dinner. It's Lindsay's birthday dinner.
And it's Lindsay's birthday dinner.
Yes.
What are we going to wear to Lindsay's birthday? I'm going to come off the set at Evine. This is a crazy week. So we get home
Thursday. Evine Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
Lindsay's birthday Saturday night. It's crazy.
But then we go to Minnesota the following weekend. And then I have a break.
Yes.
Which is great.
Yep.
I would love to talk about what I got her, but I can't because I know she listens.
Yeah.
What are we going to wear for her birthday?
I don't know. How exciting. I feel like she deserves such a special moment. You know what I mean? She does so much for everyone with the half birthdays and the full. Like, wait, did we talk about that? Does she do her own half birthday?
No.
She doesn't, right?
She doesn't. By the way, she doesn't usually do a half birthday for Craig either. The only reason she did a half birthday for him is because he was having like heart surgery at his regular birthday.
Yeah.
So she felt bad. But she does it for the kids.
Yeah.
I only did a half birthday once for Kat because someone in her class did it because they had a summer birthday.
Yeah.
So when usually when kids have a summer birthday, they let them do the half birthday at school.
Yep.
She asked me about it and I did like the half cake and the whole thing. And then I went like this. Yeah, I'm not doing that again.
For her, we should do like a half plus a half is a whole. You know? That's like a topper. You know, her topper.
I know.
So funny.
I'm just glad it's holiday season.
Me too.
Are you listening to your...
No, I'm not.
Why? Are you waiting?
I'm not yet. I don't know.
When do you wait till? I haven't listened to it again since I was on the plane.
It's literally until like 103.5 starts playing it. And then I'm just full blast.
Is that the day after Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it is probably. I'm just.
What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
I don't know. I think I'm going to go to Lido House.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're going to bring the family?
I may. I don't know. Riley's just like dying for me to be. He's like, I'll just put a table in the kitchen.
Really?
Yes.
Because he wants to be with
yes.
you?
Yes.
That's so sweet.
It was like the cutest thing. I go, I'm not going to sit in the kitchen. He goes, no, really. I'm going to, I can set up a little table right in the kitchen. And well, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's the cutest thing.
Oh, I love that.
I know.
That's so sweet.
Because every holiday he's going to have to be working.
I know.
Yeah, so it's not going
to be. What about Halloween? I know you hate Halloween.
I do. I really don't care about Halloween.
Really? You're going to do nothing?
No, I'll probably just go see my little babies and trick or treat with them and that's it.
You don't wear a costume?
No. You know what I've done for like the past few years?
What?
I stuff my belly so I look pregnant. And it's like if I go to like a party or something, I'm just drinking and I have like this pregnant belly. And everyone just judges galore. It's the best.
That's so funny.
Because I wear like a sweatsuit or like just something casual. I'm like, no, I didn't really want to dress up. And then I have like a full-blown belly. It's
You're like
best.
Resting your drink
uh-huh.
on it.
Oh, yeah. It's so good. It's so great.
That's
maybe
so
I'll
funny.
Do it this year, although no one would really believe me. So maybe not.
Hey, I have to mention to everyone, I just want to remind everyone because we only have one book signing and it's going to be next weekend. So it is, let me get the exact thing. It's Saturday, October 27th, 1:30 to 3 p.m. at the Mall of America in Minneapolis in the Southeast Court location. And we're going to be signing your books. And the book is out. It's for sale. It's so exciting, and you can buy it now wherever books are sold. And you know what? It's a great gift to give to someone, and it's not mean like, hey, here's a diet book, because this right. is really a lifestyle.
Yeah.
And it's about being fit and healthy and living your best life for a long, 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 long time.
Absolutely.
You guys, thank you so much for your support. I love that you're loving the YouTube channel and the house tour. Don't forget to become a subscriber so you can win something fabulous. I'm going to buy you something that replicates something in my house and you're going to love it because I already have it. All right, guys, thank you so much. I will see you next week where I'm going to tell you all about our adventures in New York and I'll let you know if the food held up.
Thanks for listening to Heather Dubrow's World. Download new episodes every Tuesday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.